All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're all in studio. Training camp
we're
has
back.
Come to an end.
We're back in studio.
We are.
Forever. Well, until next week. We're in Circa in Las Vegas.
I can't wait for that.
Starting next Thursday's show. Mm-hmm. Alex and I actually fly out Wednesday.
Yes.
But we'll be there. We'll be out there. Come join us if you guys are interested. Contest weekend, if you're signing up for Circa Millions, I'll just tell you right now, or you're a Circa survivor, no better time to do it than next week when they already have the event stuff around it.
Yeah, you have till the 3rd. You have till the 3rd to sign up if you got another trip planned to Vegas before the start of the NFL season. But it is definitely the weekend, next weekend to go out there. As you mentioned, they've got open bar events. They've got some other events. There's a bunch of Radio Row and media personalities are going to be out there from some national outlets as well. And then all the people that won the contest before. This year, I want to get one of those guys on the show because we go out there and they give out like a blue jacket to the winner of these.
I know.
And we've seen them at the party. There'll be like 50 of these, you know, like 20, honestly, but guys walking around. And I want, because we're going to do a Circa Millions, like Dusty's going to enter with us. You and I are going to be part of an entry with Speck, I believe. We're going to do Circa Millions. And I want to bring him on the show. I want some advice. I want some tips. Like we all bet, but I want advice from someone that's won, in this case, $6 million before. That's
how does it work? Do they get? Does anybody who's a part of a group
like it's a million for first? I guess six million total prizes.
So $1 million and the five of us win it. Do we all get a jacket?
No.
Or just one jacket, we got to share it?
Don't worry about the jacket. Be happy that you get to split $1 million.
No, I'm worried about the jacket.
I don't know. No, I believe how it works is you get one and then you could agree to buy an additional couple jackets. You would have to spend your own money to do that.
I mean, if you just won $1 million, it'd probably be a little easy to spend the cash.
I just can't wait till mid-season. There's going to be a week where Dusty's convinced to take some team against the spread, and we're all going to get in a big argument. And
it's going to be a 4-1 week, and it could have been 5-0.
And then the next week, we're going to get back in studio, and we are going to be all upset with somebody. Be like, I told you not to take them -5.5. It's going to be great. So we're excited.
Like, you didn't get, there's no hook.
Yeah, we're going to be excited to enter the contest this year. And I know we have a couple listeners that were out there with us last time, too. So if you're going to be there, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter, at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Drew B. Nix, right? On social. Also,
not on Instagram, but he is that on Twitter.
Okay, that's right. We did learn that. Also, something we're going to all find out together. I want to tease it now because I truly, and Cody, we told Drew.
Not for Radio Fodder. We do not know.
Don't tell us, because he put something in the rundown this morning or late last night, and it just simply says, Drew, : I'm starting something new.
Yeah, Tate.
Okay.
Fire your guesses.
I'm starting something new. You guys can guess. We have no clue. I have a lot of thoughts. 913-586-7965. What is Drew starting new?
I asked OnlyFans.
He said it's not work-related.
OnlyFans?
It's a personal thing. Based on your photos, maybe you finally listened to our advice. We said, look, if you're going to be sending out shirtless photos, you might as well start making money off of it.
You guys can guess OnlyFans.
Are you finally realizing that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to disappoint you the rest of your life? Is that you realize
what,
so
I'm flipping teams?
Yeah, you're becoming a Chiefs fan. Is that what I'm hearing? We're going to learn together.
I can vehemently say that it is not becoming a Chiefs fan. You don't need to guess that one. It's not happening.
OnlyFans. That was my first guess.
I don't know.
He's going to get on that foot, guess that right foot now. Website, you know?
I have a couple thoughts. One is starting something. He's going to become like a vegetarian or something or something. And all of a sudden he's going to be a food freak, diet freak. He's going to come in with a gallon of water every day. And he's going to tell us how many.
Oh, dude, if you turn into a bone broth blender bottle, dude, I'm out.
I'm not going to walk in with a gallon jug of water. I did recently order a water bottle though. A new water bottle for myself. So,
okay.
I never order new water bottles. I just get them for free. That was the most boring sentence ever said on this show.
That has nothing to do with what I'm starting. Oh, okay. That has nothing to do with it.
Is that a nice
starting,
one?
He said he's starting something new. He's going to start weekly massages.
They're going to start his own cupping business. We are about starting businesses on this show. I'm
motivational workout profile. Someone says Drew's going to beef up and take roids.
Hey, someone from the 913. He's going to become a good producer.
Ouch.
Let me take the sword out of my stomach right now.
In that case, do you steal Mac's job? But we fired. Like, how does that work? If you took the morning show producing job, then either Mac was fired or we fired you and you stole Mac's job.
You guys remember the show Wife Swap? We should do a producer swap just for like a week. during next offseason, like not during football, but like next summer, producer swap.
So Drew's got to wake up at
Producer swap.
Cody, that actually was the wager of the pickleball thing. Is Mac loses his job and I take his job. That was what it was.
I do think we should do a producer swap next summer at some point. It'd be like wife swap. We get video doc, like basically like Drew, like waking up half asleep
behind the scenes.
Yeah. Half asleep and like miserable for a week and realize, and him and Dusty are fighting in the mornings. Mac comes here and Mac's used to doing something like, no, we don't do that. Like just, it could provide some content next summer.
I will say earlier today, Andy Reid did speak to the media on the last day of training camp. It's the last day of training camp. He did, I think, as you pointed out before the show, he did us all a huge favor Friday night.
Oh, big time.
Chiefs game starts at 9 p.m. local time because the game's in Seattle Friday night. And you're like, ooh, 9 p.m. for a preseason game on a Friday night. That sounds rough. Good news. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, at least, at bare minimum, are not playing in this game on Friday. So your interest level of this game and my interest level of this game and every fan's interest level of this game just plummeted.
This is one of those where you do not have to feel like you got to be locked in at 9 o'clock on Friday night. Now there's other storylines that'll come out of it. Will you go back? And if you keep an eye on a certain player, you can go back and obviously watch a certain series if something significant happened for a certain player or something like that. But I'll be honest, he did everybody a gigantic favor. It's a Friday night. The Royals are at home as well. And the game starts at 9 o'clock and no Mahomes anyway. Yeah. With all due respect, I don't need Bailey Zappi for two quarters. I'm good. Thank you very much. Like,
that's going to be the most background to background TV. You don't even have a Caitlin Clark card to watch this time.
No.
What are you going to do?
No.
What are you going to do with your night? So let's not talk about that right now. We can talk more about who we might actually watch when we come in here on Friday because we know the starters won't be in the mix. But the Royals have a chance for a very big sweep today because the same reason we mentioned. We said they had to win at least 6-7 games in this 9-game trip up against bad teams. No more messing around. You got to get several games above 500 before the tough teams come to town. And you got to take on teams like the Texans. I'm in football mode
now.
Yeah. The Rangers or the Tigers, who they've got twice this month, right? So before that starts, time to get some wins. It is a big opportunity for the Royals to get wins because they've won three of their last four and made up no ground in the wild card spot, which means no foot off the gas now. Go get the sweep today. You beat them, and I think like you beat up on their bullpen. You look like the better team, and I like when you look like the better team against a bad team versus like the Twins, and you just take it to them a little bit. Finish it off. Seth Lugo, who is currently your best starting pitcher available to you, is on the mound today. You're up against not a very good one for them. Their bullpen still stinks. It's been taxed. Go get the sweep. Just get the sweep. And tomorrow we can come in here feeling good. And it'd be the first time it feels like they'd been above 500 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no question there. Look, the stretch that we've all been talking about, we keep repeating ourselves, I think, on this the stretch, but it's significant. And it is the stretch of the season now where at some point you got to get hot. And they're in the middle of that 9-game stretch. And they're in a position after what happened to Minnesota where they needed to go. What was it, 5-1 or 5-0 the rest of the way during the stretch? Well, you got to start somewhere, and today a sweep would get you that 3-0 mark at least and put it in play for you to have the 9-game stretch that we talked about them needing to have, which is a sign that they are capable of getting hot, not just winning two, losing two, winning one, losing one, winning three, losing three. Like they can't
being
do that anymore.
Not with, like 40, for a while.
Not with 42 games now to go. So, and it, let's just be real. This Nationals team sucks. They stink.
Bad.
Their bullpen is the worst team in baseball. If you can get up on them at all early, it is game over. James Wood is a very nice player. He's going to be a stud in this league for a long time, but they have the worst bullpen in baseball. Their starting pitching sucks. They traded away some pieces. This is a team you should sweep at this point of the season. This is different than even Minnesota, where Minnesota at least had a bunch of young guys that got called up or trying to prove themselves. All right. And a Minnesota team and a manager that is still their manager, not an interim manager. Remember, the Nationals fired their GM and manager in the middle of the season, a week before the draft. This is a team you go out there this afternoon and get the sweep. I'm going out there actually after the show. We're off a little early today for those that don't know it. It's day baseball, so we hand things off to Vern at noon for his on-deck show, and then I'm heading out to the game to watch with some people, and I'm hoping to see a victory this afternoon. It needs to happen to keep everything in play.
Look, they're above 500 since the All-Star break. They went in the All-Star break 3 games below 500. They are now dead even at 60-60. So since the All-Star break, the 3 games above 500, but they needed to be 6 games above 500. And it goes back to the quote that J.J. Piccolo gave us yesterday, which is like, yeah, especially in the last couple of weeks is where it especially feels of note, where we've let some games slip away, where you should only be, honest to God, if you don't like make those like mistakes you just can't make, you should be two games, right? Two games out of a wild card spot. Game and a half out of a wild card spot.
That's the reality of where they're at. Now, I will say, like, someone says, hey, are we going to ever talk about how the Tigers' lead is down to 5.5? Not until the Royals are above 500 and the Royals are within 5.5. The Royals are still 8.5 back. I hear you. The Tigers are definitely slowing down. Their pace is way down. They're now only 17 games above 500. They were way out in front of everybody. Toronto now is the best team in the American League. That's not Detroit anymore.
And still 8.5 for the Royals.
But that's the thing. It's if the Royals were where Cleveland is at, which is 62-56, and 5.5 back, we'd be saying, okay, all of a sudden. Yeah, they're still 8.5 games back. So let's worry about the wild card. You're correct that the Tigers are free-falling a little bit here. But freaking Cleveland, despite trading off a couple pieces or losing a couple bullpen guys due to the sports betting scandal.
Have won 8 of the last 10.
Yeah, they're hot. This is what we mean, though. The Royals have to have an 8-2, 10-game stretch. Because you still have a Cleveland team in front of you that is as hot as anybody in baseball suddenly. And so you haven't gained ground on them. You're still behind them. It's not so much being third in the division, it's that in the wild card race you are four back. The Rangers are 3.5 back, and Cleveland's one back from the Yankees for the final wild card spot. The good news is, yeah, there's four, you know, you're talking about four teams, three teams technically in front of you at this point in time. I mean, Boston, I guess, has not solidified their spot either, but let's just worry about the Royals getting hot before we start really standing chasing again.
Did you see who was hot yesterday?
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
Feels appropriate because he's in AAA, obviously starting his rehab assignment.
Mm-hmm. Four hits, is that right?
Four hits for Jack Caglione yesterday. Four hits.
One to tie it, two to win it. 1-0.
Yeah, every person in the stands.
Caglione sends a sharp ground ball through the right side. Base hit into right field.
That was one of the four hits. Yeah. Good sign. Rehab assignment day one. I think he's off
today.
Okay,
he's confident enough in AAA. For anybody who's like, I want him to get his confidence back, I bet he feels pretty good about himself after a four-hit day.
Yeah, we all know that he's got to succeed at the big league level and do things. But to your point there, and it's something you and I have said throughout the last week, this notion that he needs to stay in AAA the rest of the year is to me, crazy. We know he can hit AAA pitching. That is not the problem. The problem is when he got to the big leagues and he was exposed at times and struggled. That, to me, goes back to the overall hitting development at the big league level. And
you want to get back
into Alex Zumwalt stuff. We don't have to have that conversation again, but that's more my concern. I don't need to see Jack Caglione hit 400 and hit seven home runs over the next 3 weeks in AAA. I don't need to see that. That doesn't do anybody any good.
No, he's got to figure out it at the big league level for this year and for next year. Their best chance to make the playoffs, Jack Caglione comes up and he just does what he did in AAA all year and AA all year. And he started his big league career slow for a variety of reasons. One could just be because people start slow. I don't want to continue to point out the stats that like other guys who are very good in baseball right now, like Nick Kurtz, didn't have a good 30 games to start their major league career versus the 40 games that Cag struggled. It doesn't matter. You and I both know 40 games is an impossibly small sample size for a baseball player. Hell, do we need to go what Vinny did to start the season this year for his first 40 games? They weren't very good either. You know that he's on pace to be a 100 RBI guy again this year? After the five ribbies
comping Vinny's slow start with Cag's slow start, I don't know if that comp makes
I'm just pointing out that people can have a bad 40 games.
Yeah, 100% with you. Look, AAA just isn't going to do him any good. He's on a rehab assignment. He needs to find out if the hamstring is healthy. He's going to reportedly be off today, and then they'll give him a back-to-back later on. Hopefully he makes it through the next five or six games healthy, and then we can talk about him getting called back up. But staying in AAA makes no sense beyond a rehab assignment. Not to mention, I mean, I'd have to go and look. Most likely you're not really facing great AAA pitching on August 13th. If there were some, those guys have been called up by now. If they were, you know, if there was a successful first 4 months or 3 months of AAA baseball for some younger prospects, most of the time, I don't know if they were.
I would say it's probably not. It's either the guy who's pitched really well in AA, or it's the Dallas Keuchel kind of situation, like for the Royals or, you know, that. So
anyway,
I'm not here to tell you that. And I did not look. I'm not here to tell you that whoever he got those four hits off of yesterday, the mini pitchers I assume he got the four hits off of yesterday, are a who's who of future major leaguers. But again, that's the point you and I are making, is that what challenge or thing is he learning in AAA? If he is healthy in a week, call him up. I also point out that every lineup includes John Rave and Nick Lofton. And if you're telling me that there aren't at-bats for Jack Caglione versus them, I would just adamantly disagree. That would not be the stance that I would take. Now you've got me looking up the AMU text line. Now you got me looking up who he was hitting up against for the St. Paul Saints yesterday. And then, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who this Bradley dude is, or Worf, or Klein. Those are the guys he got the three hits off of. Bradley kid's got Taj Bradley.
You know who Taj Bradley is. That's the pitcher that pitched for the Rays earlier this year that almost had a no-hitter against the Royals for six innings.
So for what it's worth, Taj Bradley, a 24-year-old in AAA with a 3.5 ERA, is a future big leaguer, and he got three hits off of his ass. So
I assume
got to AAA.
Is it the same player?
Yeah.
He got traded from the Twins from the Rays to the Twins, I guess, at some point this year.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Taj Bradley is who he faced yesterday.
At least it was a big leaguer.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that, honestly. It's a guy who at least, you know, it's probably just some washed up guy. No, that's a guy still trying to make the bigs. Anyway, let's get to Mike Sando, who he did a big article over on ESPN, not ESPN. He did it for
Athletic.
The Athletic. I was like, where did he do it for? For the Athletic, talking about the quarterback tiers. We have decided for a portion of this conversation to exclude any conversation. Drew, Gold, no conversation about comparing 1-to-1, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
We did that yesterday.
Or Josh Allen or Lamar.
We're just going to eliminate the top four guys. That's not the way we're talking about quarterback tiers. We are getting rid of it. We are not having that conversation. Let's talk about the other guys in the list. And the reason why I think that this is an interesting article is because he talked to 50 people who are actively in the NFL. Six current NFL head coaches, current NFL GMs. It is people whose opinions I believe you should pay attention to, and for the people who pay attention to it, I think that these are people who matter. So for that conversation, that's where I think it's interesting. So we can agree, we're just going to eliminate the four guys from this conversation. Easily the most surprising guy in tier one is Matt Stafford, right? Is he still a tier one quarterback?
When he's healthy, just because when he's healthy, he is. Problem is right now he's not healthy, and he's dealing with these back issues or neck issue, I'm sorry, as well. And so that's really concerning for a player at his age. I think this is the final year for Matthew Stafford in the league. But when he's healthy, I do think Matthew Stafford can sling it with the best of them in the league. His issue has been staying available. And he's one bad hit away from being out for 6 weeks.
Yeah. At his age, the injury part's got to be a factor for me. It just is, man. I don't want to say that or inside of this, but I think he's a tier two guy. He's the top of he's the king of the tier twos, if you want. And it's like a graduation effect. It's not that he never deserved to be in tier one. It's just that he doesn't deserve to be in it now. You would still put him in as a tier one guy?
I don't have, depending on how many quarterbacks you want to put in tier one. Like, if we're going to say tier one is only four quarterbacks, then no. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the argument is like tier one can only have four quarterbacks, well, then we know who that is. We know it's the
that
Mahomes,
to me is
Burrow,
tier
Allen,
it is
Lamar.
Interesting that Matthew Stafford in there. In tier one.
He does. No, he does. That's why Cody's bringing it up. Like, I think if you're saying that should Stafford be in the same grouping of Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud. The issue I have is tier two, Sando has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 quarterbacks.
I don't think that's the state of the league.
Is tier two 9? Like, do you put Jaden Daniels and Baker Mayfield in the same category? Because I don't. Baker was awesome last year, but do I put them in the same category of quarterback right now? Do I put Brock Purdy in the same category as Jaden Daniels? I don't. That's my problem, is like, I don't think Jaden Daniels and Brock Purdy are in the same tier.
Oh, man. So here's the problem. I don't think any quarterback after a single good rookie year deserves to be in another tier. I would make an argument maybe for Purdy in tier two, but I genuinely think that that's what the league is right now. I think that there's a shocking number of quarterbacks who exist in the middle right now. Darnold, Baker, Goff, Hurts, Kyler, that if you don't want to, I think that they do belong in the same tier. Now, we could rank them out.
Yeah, but the guys, you just mentioned Kyler. He's in, that's fine. He's
him
in,
and Darnold
he's,
are in the...
They're in tier three.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. What's funny is they have five tiers, and we joke that Kenny Pickett's the only guy in tier five.
I still think that that's just kind of mean.
So what I'm saying is, five tiers is what we should do, but can we split up? Can we have, Daniels, Stroud, Hurts, Goff, basically in like tier two, and then
get rid of Brock Purdy.
Then it's tier three, and it's Purdy, Dak, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe you think Jalen Hurts obviously should be in tier two, and then we just have tier five can be Kenny Pickett and Spencer Rattler and Richardson and Flacco and Jones instead of having only one. I would expand tier five, and I would trim up tier two, if that makes sense.
I'm not against that. Look, because if you said Jordan Love is not a tier two quarterback yet, I wouldn't necessarily make an argument.
He would be in tier three. He'd be there with Dak. He would be there with Brock Purdy. He would be there, in my opinion, with Baker and CJ Stroud. But I think Daniels, Herbert, Goff, or at least Daniels, Goff, and Hurts should be in tier two by themselves.
I got to say, if Matt Stafford's in tier one, then Hurts should be in tier one. Like, he can't keep getting eliminated off this list just because they think the talent around him is too good. This was Mike Sando. Yeah,
Jalen Hurts threw for like 3,200 yards last year. It's just,
I know, but I watched CJ Stroud do it. That's my reservation.
I understand.
You belong in tier two. He can be in tier two. It's fine.
My thing with Hurts, and call me a hater, is just, a guy that is consistently throwing for like 3,300 to 3,500 yards, I'm sorry. Like, that's not as impressive. Yes, the end game is rings and all of that. I understand. That's why there's always more nuance to the convo than just rings. But you're telling me that Jalen Hurts, in terms of just overall quality of quarterback, is just as good as in my opinion, from a skill set, as Jaden Daniels, as a Matthew Stafford, as a Lamar Jackson?
I looked up Lamar Jackson's stats. Up until last year, the most yards he threw for last year outside of that were 3,600 yards in his career. I mean, he threw for 2,200 in 2022. He only played in 12 games, but in 2020, played in 15, threw for 2,700. Like, I think outside of just last year,
threw for 2,900 yards last year,
which is about 500, 600 less probably than Jaden Daniels.
Now, fairness, the year before was 3,800, but like 2,900 yards.
And I just don't think that's who it's not. Not that Jalen Hurts can't do that. Can't throw for 3,800 every year. It's just not what they do.
But he has
Saquon, and like, it's not you. I don't think our expectation should be for him to put up the same numbers as a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes. And if he doesn't do that, then we just eliminate him from the conversation of being an elite quarterback or a really good one.
The thing is, Gold, is like, and this is where like the amount of time we have to watch these guys matters. Because he's had seasons as good as Jaden Daniels last year. He's had 3,700-yard passing seasons, 3,900-yard pass seasons, you know, 4,400 total, including the rushing yardage, right? He's had those seasons where the statistical output is similar to that as Jaden Daniels. But he's never fallen off. He hasn't just, like, fallen off at any point, and he's doing it while winning Super Bowls, which is why, like, I don't want to...
A Super Bowl.
He's been to two, 1A. And so it's like... I think he's clearly a tier two guy. I don't think he belongs in the conversation because I don't think he's as talented as the four guys we're excluding from this conversation. But it's like
I would put him like, this is why I want to make tier two smaller than tier three. I would put Daniels, Hurts, Goff, and maybe you could convince me that you could add in.
You're a Dak guy. Is Dak in that conversation?
But no, that's why. Not after last year, right? Last year, the injury. Now this year, I think he can put himself back into that tier conversation. I'm just saying, tier three should be a combination of guys like Baker, Dak, Love, Purdy. And maybe
the true middle class of football that exists right now.
And then tier four should be the biggest tier, in my opinion. That should be Kyler and Rodgers and Tua and Lawrence and Geno and Nix.
Do you guys find it interesting that Aaron Rodgers is ranked ahead of Bo Nix in this tier list?
Yes, I don't get it.
He's getting a little legacy branding on it.
Bo Nix also is behind Geno Smith and Trevor Lawrence in this tier list as well.
I mean, Geno Smith's done it for longer. Trevor Lawrence, I will say, finally the league is figuring out Trevor Lawrence. It took them a little while to include Trevor Lawrence with his proper brethren, a below average NFL quarterback. He is not like Tua and Trevor and Geno, Bo Nix. They're all ranked in four in a row. That is the appropriate ranking for those four quarterbacks. That's where they exist amongst the other quarterbacks in the NFL.
Who do you, let me name off these guys. You named a couple of them. Who do you think has the chance to take the biggest leap that we're sitting here next year and saying there's a case for them to be in tier two or tier three? Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young. Out of those
the best
five,
chance or
Caleb or JJ McCarthy?
Tier four is McCarthy. Yeah. Sure, you want to add in Penix and McCarthy.
Sure.
Out of those seven, I guess it is now. who do you think has the best chance to suddenly be, we're talking in August of next year. Oh, wow, they're tier two.
I think it's either J.J. McCarthy because he is in the most
Kevin O'Connell system.
Favorable situation on the planet.
I still think Caleb Williams. I know people like to hate. I know people want to hate on him, and he's got to do more. But it's the same thing you said with McCarthy. The situation he's in with weapons, he's got a great spot to actually go and have a blow up this year in a good way.
I think it's rude to put Kenny Pickett in a tier by himself. So rude. Go ahead, Drew.
I think Penix is, just because of the weapons that he has, like Darnell Mooney was really good last year. Drake London, of course, is solid. You still have Kyle Pitts. Who knows what happens there? Bijan out of the backfield. It feels like he doesn't have the coach that J.J. McCarthy does, or, of course, the top-tier weapon in J.J., but roster-wise, I mean, he has a talented offense around him. I think Trevor Lawrence, this is his best shot, just given the head coaching change, Brian Thomas Jr., like this is it. If Trevor Lawrence...
To change the narrative, yeah, this is...
If he doesn't do anything this year and he's fully healthy and everything like that, then it's just never going to happen, and that's just something that I think we kind of have to accept.
913-586-7965. Someone says, you shouldn't only go by yards to evaluate quarterbacks. Nobody was saying we're only going off of yards for Jalen Hurts. It's just part of the conversation. That's part of the factor. Nobody's saying that
he's
solely
really good,
disqualifies
but like you said,
him,
he shouldn't be included in that top four or even five.
It's one factor if you're trying to make a case for or against somebody. All right, we're late for a break. Up next, let's find out how Cody's golf outing went. I got multiple texts yesterday. Can't wait to talk about that. Also, a bizarre story involving Venmo, and I don't get why people use Venmo this way. I'll explain next.
Guys, I'm at a crossroads with golf. You said we're going to find out how golf goes. Let me get away the spoilers here. Terribly.
You joined. You filled in a golf league yesterday, and you don't really golf all that often. What were you thinking?
Okay, so I've golfed a few more times this year than I did last year, but I've got the yips, Drew. I am at a crossroads.
It's a tough place to be.
I am at a crossroads with my golf game. Here's the simple reality of it. I think I have to decide in the next 2 weeks which direction this is going. I think I am down to two available options. I should either take this seriously, get to the range more often, play a lot more golf, try to become an average, show up couple times a month golfer in which you're not a total embarrassment. Fine, you skull one every once in a while.
I think that's all a lot of people want.
The last couple times I've golfed, I'm not even that. Or I should just quit, sell my golf clubs, and never play again.
Wait, I think part of
yesterday had me there. I should either just quit golf forever, never play the sport ever again.
What did you shoot?
Or I don't like. Oh, on the it was like 70 or something.
I said 68, and you called me crazy.
No, we stopped. Because I stopped even trying to like. I was just trying to fix my swing after like four holes. There was no point.
Been there, done that.
And I shot like I shot 108 on Saturday, so I was quite a bit better on Saturday.
So you were just 37 shots off. In nine holes, which you shot for 18 during the weekend?
Yes! I lost it!
I had more faith in you, man.
I think I know what happened. Do you notice, whenever Cody goes in golf, especially with our friend Joe, all of a sudden, and Cody, we have a group chat, and like we'll text, but the amount of texts that flooded through yesterday.
Joe was sending a lot of texts. Joe is also embarrassing, by the way. He plays way more golf than me.
The amount of texts we get, and then we start getting selfies from Cody mid-golf and faces.
Drank too much?
A lot of faces that I won't tweet out and stuff that are very interesting.
I mean, a sad face.
And I think what happens is you get blitzed and your golf game tanks.
That occasionally happens. That was not yesterday's problem.
How much did you drink yesterday?
Not none. I had a drink, two drinks. I don't know.
Okay.
I will say there is certainly
the driver was the only club that works.
Maybe you need to get some new clubs how you won the new
driver. Oh, we're blaming it on the clubs.
I'm just telling you right now. But that's the goal. Here's the thing.
It can't hurt.
It's probably not. It's definitively not the club's fault.
What, do you work at the PGA Superstore over there? He needs new clubs.
My irons are probably 10 or 12 years old. They're from a golf brand that doesn't even make irons anymore.
That doesn't help.
And the truth is that this is the point. I either throw them into the Grand Canyon when we're in Vegas. I ship them out there and I make a ceremonial toss.
That'd be a heck of a social media video.
Into the Grand Canyon and I quit this game forever. Or it's today I start taking it serious to actually get decent. Not great.
Well,
not
how much money do you want to spend and how much time do you want to commit?
When I was in my early 20s and I just used to shoot. When I was in my early 20s and I used to shoot like 92 when you go out on the weekends, and it's still fun for everybody and not an
impairment. Gold is absolutely right,
honestly,
Cody.
How much time do you want to spend and how much money?
That is absolutely
that's your answer.
Question?
Yes. Gold is 100%
on it. The answer to that is really what will dictate what
because
you want to do.
Because, Cody, if you do, for whatever reason, I don't know if you've looked at new clubs. Obviously, you're going to have to spend a pretty penny. You don't need if you're spending more than $1,000 on clubs, you're doing it wrong. If you're going to get new clubs, do not spend over $1,000. Get clubs that are a couple years old, more forgiving.
And a scratch golfer, give me some suggestions of possible clubs because I was trying to decide between quitting or getting better.
Do not be the person who is shooting in the hundreds and spends $1,800 on a set of irons that they should not be using in the first place.
Drew,
don't be
never
that person.
Happen.
Good.
That's obviously
don't be
not.
That individual.
That's obviously not.
I just Drew, would you say like is there a certain type of club?
I use a regular shaft.
Okay, that's good to know.
You need to go and get a club fitting. I don't think I'll ever use a stiff shaft.
Okay, so don't. So Cody, did you hear that?
I mean, club fitting.
Drew, from your experience though,
I've played with stiff shafts. It's not that great.
Okay,
Cody, you need to go and get a club fitting so you know what shaft you should use.
Here's a set of irons.
You need a custom shaft.
That the guy suggested I can get a set of irons used for $500. So I could win in Vegas, win $500. Maybe I just let the gambling gods decide. Gold. I get to Circa and let the gambling gods decide if I've got the $500 to buy these new irons. You know,
on this show, you would be the shaft expert.
I think Cody, you should go and look.
I might just quit, man. I don't know.
I know. I think
I'm so frustrated. Can we go to the range? Can that help me decide? I'm going to decide in the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to swing some clubs.
Sure.
Sometime in the next couple of weeks to help me decide.
It's better to get So you don't have to commit to anything. It's better to get a fitting because at the range, you have to get the clubs and then try the clubs out afterwards. At a fitting, you can go and you pay like $50 or whatever it is, and you get to try 3, 4, or 5 iron sets. You don't have to buy anything then and there. Of course, they'll pressure you to do that probably, but you try things out, figure out what iron works for you, what type of shaft works for you, and then you'll be good to go, and you know what to do. You'll have better direction.
I need one of these like
men's senior shaft.
I need one of these like you know, these good golf club places to like sponsor me, make me get better, like the Styx golf clubs or something. Get me a fitting. Come on, let's work together. Let's get me better at this.
This is turning to Cody begging for free golf clubs now. That's what it is.
No, I looked at prices. I definitely have looked at some used sets.
I just think you should never have volunteered to fill in a golf league when you're not that good at golf.
It was last
man.
Minute. They needed somebody last minute. And of course, the two people we were with are a 2 and a 3 handicap. So this guy hit his drive into the. So I hit my drive in the fairway. He hit his drive, I don't know, a billion yards further than me into the sand trap. But it's a par 5. So he's still like, I don't know, 220 yards out of the sand trap and stripes one 10 feet from the pin. And I'm like, okay, well, this guy must hate playing golf with me.
Mm-hmm.
This guy must just think this person's the worst human being on the planet.
So you're done with golf league. That sounds like a path you should not
do. I might just quit golf.
Never again.
I might just quit golf. I might just have to quit. But in next 2 weeks, I'm going to take it serious for the next couple weeks. I'm going to get out of the course. I'm going to go to the range. I'll do what Drew says. I'll go get a fitting.
Do you want to go golfing in 110 degree weather in Vegas next week?
Hell no.
No? Okay.
I'm not shipping my clubs out there. So
110 degrees on Thursday.
There you go, guys. There you go.
So I'll be inside. If not, I'll be out at Stadium Swim in the water. Otherwise, there's no reason to go outside in Vegas next week.
Go ahead and schedule the tee time for like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Will you come to the range
in the morning?
No, not in the morning.
If 5 a.m. it might be cool. It might only be 90 degrees.
Is your brother coming in town anytime soon?
No.
Damn it.
What, you want free lessons from his brother?
I thought maybe we could spend an hour at the range.
My brother would, if we went to the range and you were there, if my brother was here, he would give you.
Anybody a golf? The guy I was playing with last night?
He would give you some game for free.
I should
not charge you.
One of the guy last night, the same guy who hit that bunker shot, I am to understand he is a high school golf coach. So I probably should have just gotten a lesson from that guy.
I use a regular shaft.
Thank you, Drew. We'll get to what Drew said he is trying differently or something new.
I'm going to give you guys five guesses.
He said he's starting something new. Okay. We'll get to that
in
about
that in a minute.
6 or 7 minutes or so. I'm not sure. Because, again, Drew was supposed to play in that golf league yesterday. He said he had other obligations. Then today he's out here saying he's starting something new. I have a lot of things.
It has nothing to do with
a lot of things
either.
Are flowing through my mind. Some I can't say on the air, I don't think, of what you actually are doing, but we're going to learn together.
Dang, all right.
Yeah, we're going to learn together in just a little bit. Meanwhile, have you guys seen the story about the Oklahoma quarterback? There, Drew, you fall
John Mateer.
You fall college football. So you tell me, how good is he supposed to be, number one?
There is a lot of hype surrounding him this season. Right. He's considered one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
Okay, so one of the better quarterbacks in the country. He's in a bit of hot water. It started on social media, and since then the university has released a statement, but it's because there was some screenshots from the transfer quarterback's Venmo account where it shows transactions that maybe signaled he was betting on college games. Again, nobody knows. We don't know what the heck is actually going to happen or what happened in this circumstance. But basically, Sooner Scoop, which is a website, reported that the school is aware of the alleged incident and was looking into it. The quarterback made it clear to Oklahoma that he says he has never gambled. But these screenshots were of his Venmo to a buddy, and it literally said, sports betting, parentheses, you know, Oklahoma USC versus UCLA or USC against UCLA or whatever it may be. And again, I have no idea if he actually did. First of all, why does anybody ever make their Venmo transactions public? I have never understood that. I think I've said it on the air before. Whether it's me sending $20 to Cody for lunch or him sending me $5 for whatever, and you put the emoji as a beer stein or a mug or whatever, why? That doesn't need to be public.
I didn't know that you could make them private.
Drew's is definitely public.
I'm gonna go to yours right now. Like, why have you not made it private? It doesn't ever show the dollar amount, but why does everybody need to know who you're sending money to on Venmo? Probably it seems like a terrible idea.
Probably because people don't know that they can.
Drew, let me find your Venmo. I don't know if I've ever sent anything to you on Venmo.
How do you go and make it?
Oh, you and I are not friends on Venmo. I don't think we ever sent money to each other. Let me go to Cody's.
How do you make
second.
It private?
There's a setting. You could just change that.
I've made mine private, but I sent Venmo so little.
Cody, time Cody's was public was 2021.
Yeah, I probably switched it.
You paid someone named Julie for things, and then you paid your brother Jairus for yard work. I don't need it, but why? I don't need to know this.
That was 2021, years ago, I made that private.
There's also one. Again, so I don't know why anybody needs to leave a private public.
Has yours been private from the beginning?
I don't know if it was from the very beginning. So one, it doesn't need to be public, but also a lot of people do put funny stuff in the comments, right?
Nonstop.
As a quarterback in college football, you cannot, even if you were joking, which let's just play along here for a little bit, why would you put sports betting as the joke when you're a quarterback at a Division I university? Like, you even have one that's funny.
Oh, my brothers and I used to send all kinds of stuff.
It says, F your 45 cents.
Look, here's the truth. Like, the weird part about this is I'm kind of inclined to believe the kid. Because
he's just messing around.
I think should be.
My brother worked at a bank for a really long time, still does work at a bank. And when he was doing like teller stuff, he would like, if he had to write me a check, he'd put the most insane stuff for me to have to deposit in the memo line. I mean, it would say offensive things in the memo line of the check. So like, Venmo's essentially just the public version of that. I don't think it's crazy that two kids who are their teenagers would go jokey. I don't think he's so stupid. He would put in his Venmo,
I don't know,
I'm wagering on sports.
Arch Manning's went public recently and he had a lot of dumb comments that a 19-year-old kid would put. Whatever, you're right. Like, we've all put dumb things. But this wasn't even like the sports betting thing. When you're a Division I quarterback, you just have to be smarter. Like, you can't make that joke given the scandals that exist in sports and alleged scandals and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Someone says the reason why it's public is so people don't launder billions of dollars. No, you don't have to make it public. Like,
you actually can make them private.
Venmo doesn't mean that Venmo still can't, if there was an investigation, that Venmo still can't reveal to the FBI or something. I'm saying, literally, like, I should not be able to go to Cody's Venmo and see every transaction. Make it private.
Yeah, I think...
By the way. It's not something...
I mean, you got to think smart about this. I mean, a friend of mine just texted and said that they had to Venmo a stripper for cash for a bachelor party. They Venmo and then they give you the ones. Do you want that in your public Venmo request?
Drew's got a bunch in there now. I'm seeing a bunch of them say cupping and massages. There's like 15 transactions in the last 2 weeks. It's a lot of massages, Drew.
It's interesting, though, because I think you're right, Cody, in the fact that like we should believe him. I think we were inclined to
I'm
do so.
I'm kind of inclined to believe him that kids put stupid things in Venmo transaction histories.
At the same time, like I don't... You're inclined to believe them, but at the same time, we've seen how often this stuff has occurred, really in sports in general in the last year or two, that you have to investigate it, and it creates a distraction for that program. It makes him look bad in a situation. I mean, if you're Brent Venables, you're like freaking out for a little bit just because you're like, Did you actually do this? Like, you're supposed to be the starting quarterback and all these other things come along with it.
I don't think you can play a football game until it's properly investigated.
That's where I was going to ask you guys.
I am inclined to believe him. He should not be allowed to play a football game until they track his bank accounts, track the bank accounts of the other people he sent these Venmo requests to, and make sure that they didn't bet on a USC football game for the amount of money that he sent him. If they can clear him, he can play. But he shouldn't be allowed to play until they actually clear that he was.
Yeah, a couple of college football insiders, though, have been reporting on this. They say that the Venmo transaction screenshots do not provide solid evidence to hold him accountable. So
I don't think you can put sports. That's crazy. That's not enough to hold him accountable. It's a sports wagering.
The insider for CBS said, ultimately, there isn't actually a smoking gun. There isn't actually hard evidence that he's done anything wrong. As people may know, Venmo accounts are notoriously unhelpful for revealing what's actually going on in them. Like, look, plenty of people have been there you know, you can put a slice of pizza. It doesn't mean you paid your buddy $150 for pizza. Yeah. It might have been for a baseball card. Like, whatever it may be, right? Like, it doesn't mean anything.
I think it's not very rarely.
What you put in the description for Venmo does not prove anything.
I know, but you just can't type it.
I'm with you.
It doesn't prove anything. Doesn't mean that you are punished as in, like, we're saying you can never play college football again and no NFL team's going to draft you because... No. But do we get to
properly investigate it?
Do we get to investigate before? Hell yeah, we get to investigate before. Emmanuel Clase, they haven't technically proven yet that he is guilty of sports wagering. He probably is. The evidence is pretty bad for him. But I will tell you that they get to suspend him while they do it.
Yeah, but that's because they literally have a discretion. Like, they have the pitcher that was throwing, and all of a sudden a weird spike in pitch will be a ball or strike. Yeah. That's way more of a, oh, we might have a smoking gun then. We saw a screenshot of a kid that may be joking, but we don't know if he was joking. We have no clue where the bet was placed. Was it ever placed? He sent money to his buddy. How much money did he send to his buddy? Like, yeah, I'm just saying, there's a lot more to figure out than we're making it seem
this
like.
This is another reason why
seems like there's way more evidence on something like that.
This is another reason why they need collective bargaining. Sure. They need clear language for when and how we can suspend you for reasons like this. Because right now, it is just vibes. Like, enough evidence against what? NCAA rules are notoriously vague. Like, so, I mean, there's a lot of ways they can still ding you.
A lot of the major suspensions come from the schools themselves, too. Correct. Of course, Oklahoma's not going to suspend their guy that they just got in the portal. There's no way.
We'll see. There's got to be some more evidence that comes out if, in fact, it's going to result in him missing games, I think. That's all. And maybe there will be. Maybe we'll find out in a week, and all of a sudden there's real proof. But right now, it seems like a kid was being a complete moron, honestly, is what it sure seems like. All right, Drew, you put something in the rundown. We told you do not tell us what it is until on air, so we get a natural reaction. You just put, Drew, I'm starting something new. You're starting something new. People have been guessing. What do you mean? You're starting something new. And you got a big smile. You got a big smile on your face. You got a big smile on your face, too. Are you about to go run in the Boston Marathon next year?
He's going to try to become a professional pickleball player after King Max.
Are you going to Augusta to break 100? What are we doing?
Are you getting cooking lessons?
No, I'm not. Do you guys want to have three guesses? I'll give you each three guesses, or do you want two guesses just for the sake of time?
Two guesses for the sake of time.
And for the text line, too. 913-586-7965.
OnlyFans and training for a marathon. Those are my two guesses.
Okay. I'm going to guess that you're getting like personal training now or something. And then the other thing would be you're some sort of diet. I don't know whether it's becoming vegetarian or some sort of diet you're trying. That's okay. Those are my guesses. Okay,
so those are all very good guesses, but but none of them are it. Somebody says I joined CDOT's quilting class.
I did not.
Is CDOT even still in that class, by the way? I don't know. OnlyFans is a no.
Someone says maybe Drew signed up for Hinge Premium. Cody suggested it for gold, but maybe Drew did.
No, I absolutely did.
That would not work.
Absolutely
did not.
That would
be a bad decision on your part.
I am learning a new language.
And how far into the process are you?
Sorry,
that wasn't good. I mean, I could have guessed that.
Okay, all right.
What language?
All right, what language, yeah.
Now, if it's Russian, I'm going to be really surprised.
No.
It's going to be some most random, like, it's going to be like some native language from some other, go ahead.
Yeah, it's French.
Why French?
Yeah, why French? Why not Spanish or something?
Our producer was just living in France, and now he's learning French.
I took Spanish in high school and took it in college, and I'm tired of learning Spanish, so I figured I would learn something new.
So is this like a Duolingo situation,
yes,
or are you going to like
yes.
work?
Yes, this is Duolingo.
Okay.
And then eventually is your goal to then like go overseas and like go practice to, it? Go to Paris?
No,
or
this
something?
Is like a. It's more like a random thing.
Just something just that'd be cool yourself. To pick. Just
what do you know
cool
so far? Can you count to five?
Haven't done numbers yet, but I. But,
what you haven't done numbers? That's
no,
the first one.
No,
I feel
no,
like.
A lot of it is like it's kind of random words, but I'm just getting into greetings. So
bonjour. Is that that's where we're at?
Only if it's good afternoon and good morning. Good evening is bonsoir.
Okay.
Oh, see, he's learning something already.
I can also say like je suis Drew is I am Drew.
I'll be honest. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Yourself as
I'm not trying to be
good for you, man.
Alex.
I'm good for you. I would also love to learn another language, and I briefly considered doing the same. I think it's very good. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but what a letdown. What a letdown. I was expecting something way more intriguing for the show's sake in future.
It was
expecting something that could impact the show moving forward. And
when's
it's just
French
like,
Open?
Oh, I'm learning a new language.
When's the French Open?
Well, the French Open golf, the French Open tennis updates.
So, yeah.
When's the French Open tennis?
Next year during June, in June.
Oui, oui.
Oh, you got a whole year, dude. That's
so
perfect.
I have 10 months to.
Okay.
To
10
learn
months.
French.
Can you make a, can you like when they used to make us do in my foreign language classes, I can't speak to yours. You'd have to choose like a French name for French class. Like, can you be like Jean-Luc? Can we give you like a French name anytime you're learning French?
I'm just so disappointed.
I'll be Inspector Jacques Clouseau is who I'll be. Steve Martin.
Someone says, are you going to open a crepe shop or baguettes? I'll start selling baguettes.
A croissant.
I mean,
shop.
It's good. Look, I would love to know another language. I would choose Spanish just because I think it'd be more useful. But like, props to you for trying. It's very difficult to pick up a new language. Good for you. I did see T-Mobile on their T-Mobile Tuesday. They have 3 months of Duolingo for free.
A main reason is
you can learn French too. I want you guys to figure out who's better at French in 3 months.
I would pick Spanish if I was going to learn another language.
Well, did you pay for the Duolingo?
No, I'm just doing the free one.
You sound about as committed as I am to golf.
How do you say the Bengals aren't making the playoffs in French?
I don't know how to
Please
do
learn that. Please learn that. Up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold and some questions already about the wide receiver group, plus an enormous gift was given today.